two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Anderson, Coach Tim LaCombs, the Utah Jazz fall to the Los Angeles Clippers 121-114. Looking back at this Jazz game, down 17 in the first half, battle back, take a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and just ultimately did not have enough to hold on and to extend this win streak to 3 games. So a little bit tough close there for the Utah Jazz.
It's hard to pull them all out, right? And that's what they've kind of seemingly done. This one, like we said, they just kind of early on struggled without Mike out there. I really believe Mike's kind of he just makes everything go way more smooth, and they were kind of getting used to that, and the turnovers hurt them. But they figured it out and they fought and they were right there in the end. And I think that it's just hard to win them all. Can't win them all.
Jazz Game Night brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. Looking at the Jazz tonight, your leading scorer. Pull up my numbers here a little bit. Jazz got 26 points from Jordan Clarkson, had a nice night, 8 of 18, 4 of 11 from the three-point line. Got to the free throw line, 6 of 7 from the stripe. Laurie Markkanen, another great night, 25 and 10. Jared Vanderbilt also added 10 rebounds for you. Kelly Olynyk, kind of a quiet 19 points, but you'll take him.
Yeah, Kelly, as we were talking, so valuable. His 3-for-3 from three, just keep everybody honest, keep the spacing out there. And he's just got a feel for how to play that works really well with all of these guys. And so it's great having Kelly out there. I think where he maybe struggled a little tonight getting to some of those balls, but still ends up with 7 rebounds. And I just love his feel for the game.
It's your Master of the Glass. Jazz fans, Safe Life Auto Glass is proud to present this year's Master of the Glass Rebound Program. At the end of the regular season, Safe Light will donate $5 to a charitable organization for each rebound secured by this year's team rebound leader. Let's take a look at the numbers on the glass. Larry Markkanen and Jared Vanderbilt, as I mentioned, each had 10 rebounds for the Jazz. They finished with 45, actually out-rebounded the Clippers 45-41, but as you mentioned, some difficulty keeping Zubats off the glass there for the Clippers. He finished with a nice night, 14-14. He's really developed into a nice player.
He's just a big dude,
he's
too.
Strong.
You're talking about it, just getting leaned on by him. But those are two areas you mentioned, out-rebounding the Clippers, which is, they're a very physical team, and that's hard to do. The other thing, the Jazz, again, second time in a row, last game they played the Clippers, they shot 26 free throws, tonight 24, and that's something the Clippers don't give up a lot. So that's a really good sign that the Jazz have really challenged the Clippers defensively.
So looking at the at that type of development from Zubats, that's probably somewhat similar to what you want to see from Walker Kessler in his career.
No doubt.
I think that's the next step. And I don't want to knock Zubats and say, well, you hope that's not his ceiling. Obviously, you hope Walker can continue to progress past that. But that's really the next stop for him, is figure out how to be that double-double guy who can give you, what did he play, 20? I mean, we played 35 minutes tonight. He actually led the Clippers in total minutes, I guess right behind Reggie Jackson, excuse me, who played 36, but that's what you want to get. You want to be able to get that type of consistent play from a big man who just clogs up the paint.
Yeah, it has enough touch and enough ability to pass the ball that, it's a big guy that actually kind of you can function with. And he, as he gets older, he's so young, as he gets older, adds a little bit of weight, learns some of the tricks, kind of gets there himself.
Looking at some of the numbers, Jazz had a tough task today trying to replace Mike Conley, and it's going to be this way at least for the next couple of weeks, at least according to the report from Sham Sharani of The Athletic. Colin Sexton got the start tonight, 5 of 13, 10 points. Jazz were outscored by 9 with him on the floor, only had one assist in his 28 minutes. He's just he's got to be better in the backcourt, getting everyone involved. And I thought he had some really nice moments tonight where he looked like he can carry some of that scoring load. He's just got to find a more consistent way to impact the game in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and his real struggle is it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, but he gets hell-bent on the rim.
Yep.
Tonight there was a clip flying around Twitter where, driving with his right hand, Jordan Clarkson's wide open in the corner, and it's one of those simple hook passes we've seen everybody make. Some guys don't see that play as easy, and, I don't sense that it's Colin being obstinate. It's just, guys get in the heat of the moment, and they kind of revert what they know. So it's going to be a process just pointing those things out. Hey, you're always going to have a guy in this corner. The way the Jazz space the floor and the consistency will help.
Well, I think spacing the floor is an interesting point there as well. Kind of a weird number for Colin. It's contrary to what you would think coming off of a major knee injury. You would think his three-point shots would go up because he doesn't trust going in and kind of jumping around in the trees down in the paint. But he's down to 2.7 three-point attempts a game, down from 4.1 last year and 4.4 the year before that, especially while Mike Conley's off the floor, because Mike's not doing a whole lot in the paint either anymore these days. Mike Conley's still attempting almost 5 threes a game. I think that's what the number is I want to see from Colin Sexton over the next couple of weeks if he's going to continue to start, because it's not like he's a 25% three-point shooter. He still knocks down 37% of his threes, and that's right behind where Mike Conley is at 38%. I think Colin needs to step up there and show that he's willing to take that three, because that does open up that spacing, because he gets his blinders when he gets to the paint because he's not big. And it's not that I don't think it's that he doesn't want to pass. It's that he's 6'1" and he gets around a bunch of 6'8", 6'9" guys, and he just doesn't see him in the corners as well as a Mike Conley does, as well as some of those true point guards do. And I think that's one of the ways he can continue to move the ball and space the floor is hang out by the three more and not be afraid to let it go.
Yeah, I think that's all really true. The one thing that scouting reports will make him do, though, is shoot that three. If teams feel like he's reticent to shoot it, it'll be the first thing on the scouting report, and he'll have his chance to be able to shoot himself, out of low attempts and hopefully some makes. Then confidence kicks in, and you know where the rest goes.
But it certainly wasn't just Colin Sexton in the starting lineup where the Jazz struggled to replace Mike Conley. Coming off the bench without Rudy Gay or Mike Conley, the Jazz had to go to 15 minutes or so from Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Simone Fontecchio. 9 minutes from Nikhil Alexander-Walker, made some hustle plays, but he had 3 turnovers in 9 minutes and was a team worst minus 14. Again, it's really not just on one guy. Malik Beasley was also minus 14 off the bench for the Jazz. But those 9 minutes were generally pretty productive play, whether it was Talen Horton-Tucker filling those minutes off the bench or Mike Conley getting those extra minutes. And that's just that's a stretch on the floor that the Jazz are going to have to figure out, because they led by 2 with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They had to pull Talen Horton-Tucker and Lauri Markkanen off the floor because they've been playing for 8-9 straight minutes of actual game time. And Will Hardy had to go deep into his bench, and that's when the Clippers went on their big run.
I think they'll figure out something. I think that it's obviously it's new now. Conley's not out there. They miss him. I think that's obvious. But they do need to find out. And to me tonight, Fontecchio, when he comes in, makes a three early and kind of gets in a rhythm. But tonight, obviously, that's a hard game for a guy in his first year to go into. The physicality, their ability to switch, kind of make what he does obsolete.
And I don't blame Nikhil Alexander-Walker for that at all. He hasn't played in 4 games. The last time he played 2 minutes when the Jazz were on the road in Washington and were losing that game. He hasn't had real important rotation minutes in several weeks, and then gets thrown into the deep end having to make plays in the fourth quarter against the Clippers. Not many guys on the planet are going to be ready to do that. He will know his number's going to be called. He's going to be better prepared, I think, the next time we see him on the floor. But that was the difference tonight. That was a big part of the difference tonight. So those are two guys who are going to have to show that they're ready to step up there in their limited opportunities with the veterans out. Or you're going to find other guys who are willing to do it, because Will Hardy seems to like playing that 10-man rotation. And I think it's a smart idea. I think it keeps everyone fresh. But it just wasn't great basketball tonight deep in the Jazz rotation.
Yeah, and that's been actually a real positive. So something that was a little bit different tonight, but different faces, so it makes sense. I did get a chuckle, and I'm sure everybody will, when they see the Alexander Walker drive drift pass.
Yeah.
I actually tweeted out Bob Uecker just a bit outside.
It was
sweet.
It was 4 or 5 rows
deep.
If
somebody wasn't looking, And sitting in those posh seats five or six rows up, they got clocked right in the side of the head because that ball was humming.
Looking at the Jazz otherwise, I mean, it was not a bad performance, Coach. We've seen this team a lot this year, and with pretty rare exceptions, I mean, every game's been competitive. This was another enjoyable game to watch. I think the Jazz fans, I mean, I know they weren't in the arena, but they got their money's worth tonight. This was another good effort. This team does not sell you short from that standpoint. They go out there and they give it their all, and there's really no quit. They had an opportunity to win this game.
And don't you feel like the fans, after 19 games, that's the way they feel? You know, that's, I think it's why they have embraced this so much. I think that the fans really identify with the fight, maybe the underdog mentality. But the one thing that you're right, this team will play hard, and they'll play. They've been in every game. I mean, up, down, you know, big numbers. They've been in every game. It's fun to watch.
So looking at the Jazz, they fall to the Clippers 121-114 in Los Angeles. Next game coming up Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. They're going to be facing Bojan Bogdanovic and the Detroit Pistons, so should be a fun one, another opportunity for the Jazz to get a win. They're going to have that opportunity to come out there and do that, one more opportunity to see them before the holiday. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share yours at MySubaruIs.com. We're glad to hear from the locker room when we come back. Jazz fall to the Clippers 121-114 in Los Angeles.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ronnie Hook blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my!
Jazz Game Night brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru. The My Subaru Is campaign featured real stories from Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some of them at MySubaruIs.com. The Utah Jazz fall to the Los Angeles Clippers 121-114. Ben Anderson filling in for Jake Scott. And as always, Mr. Reliable, the coach, Tim Lacombe.
If nothing else, I'm reliable. Don't ever forget it, Ben.
Consistent. We didn't say what level you operate at, but it's consistent.
Consistent, yes.
No, you know what? Jazz has been consistent this year. Consistently strong, enjoyable performances. This one wasn't perfect. They went down 17 early. A lot of turnovers without Mike Conley in the lineup. Still trying to figure out how to play that point guard position. And then honestly, you know, it's a little boring to talk about because it's a little cliche, but it can be a make or miss league at times. And the Jazz only knocked down 31% of their threes tonight. They took 38, which is a great number. You even got 10 from Malik Beasley off the bench, but he only made two of them. And over the last five games, he's been shooting... You know, six games, he's been shooting 47% from the three-point line. When he does that, that can be a difference in this close of a game.
And he had some open ones, you know. I know that the Clippers guarded him well, and Conley wasn't out there, but I felt like he had similar looks to what he's been getting. Just didn't make them tonight. John Wall, of course, gets the three bank shot at the end of the quarter. So that's always fun, but it is. I think there are parts of it that are make or miss, and unfortunately, sometimes those have an impact on the game.
Let's go to Los Angeles. Coach Will Hardy talking to the media after the Clippers win.
Very well in stretches, and we were extremely poor in some stretches, and that cost us the game. We got off to a tough start, six turnovers in the first quarter, ended very poorly, six turnovers in the fourth quarter. You know, credit to the Clippers. They did a good job sticking with it all game, and their physicality and pressure at certain points in the game really bothered us. Our inability to take care of the ball cost us the game.
These turnovers, I guess, what frustrates you the most about the just live ball situation?
Yeah, it puts you in a real disadvantage because the turnovers were some of them so I don't know what the word court is gross, that the other team just gets to run down the court and dunk it. Like, we don't even have a chance to play defense, so it's hard to be mad at the transition in those situations. Some of it is just not executing. Some of it is not being strong with the ball. Some of it is, you know, poor play calling by me, but there's a variety of reasons. But it's deflating to start the game with 6 turnovers in the first quarter. I thought our guys really battled in the second and third and played the way we wanted to play. And then in the fourth quarter, we were up 2 and they went on a 7-0 run, and that was kind of the turning point in the game. The couple turnovers and poor transition defense in that little 7-0 run cost us.
Just given how well you did in the third quarter, is there anything specific you can point to about how it kind of went wrong in the fourth? Was it Cooper's doing something different?
No, I think we didn't move our bodies very quickly. I also think that we were hesitant to pass. Our team, our identity is play hard and pass, and I never question our team's effort. I think we do continue to play hard, but at moments tonight, I do not think that we passed.
So, I'm sure you don't want to probably use it as an excuse, but you feel not having Mike tonight?
Yeah, you always want to have, you know, one of your best players, most experienced players, especially during some chaotic moments in the game. Mike settled us down a lot this year, but, you know, we trust all those guys on the floor. I'm not sure that it was because Mike wasn't out there that the game went haywire at that time. I think collectively everybody needs to take some ownership tonight, me included, and we have to come back on, I don't even know what day is it. What day is today? Wednesday. Then we need to come back on Wednesday and be better. I think there was some good and some bad. I think there were moments where they did a very good job. I think there were some moments where our decision making was not very good. But that's not just those guys, that's the entire team.
You said you need to take some ownership. How so?
I mean, I'm a part of this group too. I obviously didn't have a perfect night if we lost by 7. I'm never going to sit here with you guys and blame the team, blame the players for us losing a game. We win together and we lose together. So I'll go back and watch the film and figure out, you know, what we can do to help our team be better. We obviously have a different set of lineups when Mike doesn't play, and so we need to learn quickly and be able to put some better groups on the floor together.
Along those lines, is it tough to kind of see the what-if nature of the Fleetman upgrade on Vando when you were trying to get him out right in and just you've been able to get him in one play earlier? Maybe that doesn't happen that moment, it doesn't swing that way.
I'm sorry.
You were subbing out, you were going to sub out Vando for Lowry.
Right.
And then he gets the play, the foul on Reggie Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a dead ball for about a minute and a half before that, so Lowry could have been standing there for an entire minute and it wouldn't have impacted that play. I don't think that would have had a big impact. Obviously, the play was unfortunate. I think Vando got caught off balance and instinct, his foot kicked out. I don't think he was trying to kick Reggie Jackson. That's just an unfortunate play. I don't think the timing of the sub would have been any different. I don't remember a stoppage in play for a couple possessions before that.
Despite the loss, did you like how Lowry played against this time?
I thought Lowry's great. I thought he did a really good job offensively, defensively. I thought he had some good moments on Zubac. I thought he had some good moments guarding Kawhi. It was a very tough cover. Offensively, he continues to mix it up. They showed him a lot of attention tonight, and he was able to still, you know, find 21 shots and got on the offensive glass, had 7 offensive rebounds tonight. So he continues to find ways to impact the game. You know, we obviously put him in a lot of actions, but he has really good instincts in those moments where he's not a focal point of the play.
No, it's really, do you think Lowry should get some real all-star consideration this season?
Absolutely. I think there's no doubt in my mind that he should be in the conversation to be an all-star. the way that he's played for our group, both ends of the court. I think the film speaks for itself. I know we haven't been on national TV this year, but I think, you know, people are starting to pay attention to him and how he's playing, and rightfully so.
There he is, Coach Will Hardy, talking about the Jazz after their loss to the Clippers, 121-114. One of the things he talked about there, Coach, that you and I talked about quite a bit during the game was how well Lauri Markkanen played against Kawhi Leonard, who's one of the toughest one-on-one defensive assignments there is in the league, because Kawhi is so strong. He can shoot from anywhere. I mean anywhere from the rim out to the three-point line. He plays at his own pace. He is really, really tough to defend. And Lauri Markkanen's 7-foot wingspan and 7-foot frame really frustrated him at times.
Yeah, you know, those guys, his advantage is he can, you know, he really kind of sink his hips and get a hand up to that jump shot. But where he kind of impressed you and I tonight particularly is when Kawhi tried to get on a direct line.
Yep.
And, you know, Lauri moved his feet multiple times, kind of continued to cut him off, and then made him finish over hands. I love how disciplined he is as well. Like, he doesn't get himself in bad spots defensively. I'm really impressed. I think that's the part of his game I probably understood the least, is his ability to move his feet. And then his physicality, he's been a little bit tougher than I would have expected coming in.
And he's never had more than 4 fouls in a game this year. And it's not because he's taken nights off on that side of the floor.
No, I think he's disciplined. You know, he understands the idea of vertical, and he understands that he's seven feet tall, and he's got an unbelievably long wingspan, and he can affect, you know, the defense or the offense with just his presence.
One of the things, you know, you can just tell now in retrospect that just Jazz team has, that not every Jazz team has had in the past, is several guys with that length. And you know, Rudy Gobert was so big, he made up for it and could erase so many mistakes by himself. But just having several guys out there with huge wingspans like Lauri, even though he's not the best defensive player in the NBA. I don't think anyone's going to mistake him for that. He's not going to make an all-NBA team. But that length is just disruptive. I mean, even late in the game, you saw the Clippers trying to make passes that used to kill the Jazz to Terrence Mann or Amir Coffey or Reggie Jackson in the corner. And it's just really hard to do it against a 7-footer. And then when you drive into the paint and Talen Horton-Tucker's there, who has the best wingspan to height ratio in the NBA, over 7 feet tall, he only stands 6'4", you got a plus 9-inch wingspan. Another 7-foot wingspan there. It closes off passing lanes, and that's not to mention Walker Kessler, who's got one of the longest wingspans in the NBA. It's just, it really eats up a lot of space. It gobbles up a lot of size, and the question marks that we had about this Jazz team defensively, especially in the front court, gets negated by having length before guys even get into the paint.
And that really is what the ability to guard the perimeter. You've got to have length. I mean, last year, it's crazy to think, but you know, Donovan and Mike, not long. You know, Bojan, not a real long guy, and Royce. So you've got 4 guys out there with next to no length, and you're funneling everything to Rudy, and that was kind of the defense. This year, length is causing the Jazz to be way more disruptive, and they're getting turnovers. They're certainly turning the ball over, but that's why they've been able to stay in games, because they get their fair share as well on the defensive side.
So that's been advantageous for the Jazz. It was advantageous in that third quarter when the Jazz were able to turn the Clippers over quite a bit, really flustered that second unit that had been so good in the first half. The Jazz ended up really getting out in some easy transition baskets, scored 37 points in the third quarter, outscored the Clippers 37-22, and that's what really gave them an opportunity to get out there and get that victory. Had 3 steals in that quarter alone, 2 of them by Talen Horton-Tucker, talking about that wingspan. He just continues to impress me. He really continues to evolve. And I know we say it's probably going to sound like we're beating a dead horse here, but he doesn't turn 22 until next week. I mean, at that age, with that much potential, and the flashes, the consistent flashes of brilliance, is pretty appealing, I think, if you're the Jazz front office after making that trade for Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, because he makes, like, you know how hard it is. You've watched this league for a long, long time. For a young guy to come in and have the impact he's had. I mean, I'm just looking over the last 5 games. He's been effective, and he puts a ton of pressure on the defense. But I've just, like you, I've been really impressed with his ability to just kind of play and be him. He's having a positive impact, and he makes a memorable player, too, every game, it seems.
Plus two off the bench, only Jazz second unit player with a positive plus minus tonight. 5 of 9, 14 points. Did have 5 fouls and 4 turnovers. Still some of that youth he's got to figure out. Really, really tough call late in that game on a block charge that was an and one that would have cut the lead to 2 with, what, a little over 40 seconds left to play right around there. Jazz would have been right in it. Goes the other way. Clippers score and essentially ends the game. But he's out there and he's making important plays when it matters. So it's impressive. He's going to really have an opportunity to take advantage of this with Mike Conley out. I'll be surprised. Maybe I should say it this way. I won't be surprised if he ends up getting a chance to start. I wonder if at some point Will Hardy puts Talen Horton-Tucker in that starting spot next to Jordan Clarkson and moves Colin Sexton back to the bench where he can be a little bit more ball dominant and you don't need him to move the ball as well.
I could see it coming, and I also believe, as we've seen, Will Hardy will try it, I assume. You know, he's a guy who will try stuff. I love the fact, like you mentioned, his ability to play 10 guys. It's not 10, 11 guys. Is outside of the box a little bit, probably a little bit what Tyronn Lue was talking about in his pregame talk about Will Hardy. I could see the value there. I know that there was an extended conversation on the bench with Coach Hardy and Colin. And it looked fairly heated from Will's side. So I think there was a message coming through, and we'll see how that translates down the road.
And I think Will Hardy, to his credit, one of the things he does really well as a communicator is he lets guys go out there and prove that they can fix it.
Oh, for sure.
So I would be surprised if we saw it against Detroit coming up on Wednesday. But if you continue to see some of these same issues, I don't think Will Hardy's afraid to make an adjustment to the rotation. And it's not a punishment to Colin Sexton at all. It's just an ability to put guys in situations to have success.
I totally agree with that. And I do think that, you know, the one piece that THT has that Colin's lacking is his ability to see. Like, he sees things. You know, he makes those plays. The hard plays seem simple.
And that's going to be a strength for the Jazz going forward. We'll see how quickly he can develop. Subaru story, or share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your story at markmillersubaru.com. When we come back, we'll go back down to Los Angeles, get sound from the locker room. Stick around. Jazz game night. Tim Lacombe, Ben Anderson filling in for Jake Scott.
Wow! The outcome is in the books. Let's get to the reaction. Hear from the coaches, the players, as well as the coach, Tim Lacombe. It's the Mark Miller Utah Jazz Postgame Show. Here's Jake Scott.
Welcome in, Jazz Game Night, brought to you by Mark Miller Subaru, featuring the My Subaru Is campaign. Real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Share your Subaru story for a chance to win prizes. Learn more and share your Subaru story at markmillersubaru.com. The Utah Jazz fall to the LA Clippers, 121-114. Tough one for the Jazz tonight.
It was. I mean, they showed some really great things tonight, and then obviously showed turnovers, and as Coach Hardy said, you know, the type of turnovers you hate because they go right down the other end and lay it up or dunk it. So they put themselves in a hole, but again, I enjoy watching them fight, and I enjoy watching them play. There were some really bright spots tonight, certainly things they can improve on. But they've been on a heck of a run here, and that's a hard place historically to win. We know that.
Certainly not a bad loss for the Utah Jazz tonight. They're better than moral victories. We know that they can beat anybody in the NBA. They've proven that, but certainly not a bad loss. Time for the Chick-fil-A foul shot review, the Chick-fil-A's foul shot review of the game. Download a whole new way to Chick-fil-A. Earn rewards, the Chick-fil-A One app. Let's look at the free throws for the Jazz and the Clippers tonight. Actually, a pretty good strength for the Jazz tonight. Not only did they get to the line, they knocked him down, which has not been the case consistently this year. 24 trips to the free throw line, led by Jordan Clarkson, who got there 7 times. Jazz knocked down 22 of their 24 for 91%. Clippers made up a little bit of it late when the Jazz were trying to extend the game. But for the most part, Jazz had a big free throw advantage. Clippers did knock down 18 of 19.
And that's hard to do. Typically, it's the more aggressive team. It's a team that's trying to play in more downhill, which I felt like the Jazz did. And I think that's something against pressure and against switching, that's what you have to be able to drive it. And the one that stands out to me is Lowry's drive baseline and pullback dunk. But that's exactly what you have to do when you get the opportunity and you get a mismatch or somebody on the perimeter, you can drive. And the Jazz did a good job of that. Got to the line 24 times. That's going to win a lot of games doing that.
Another extremely good game from Lauri Markkanen tonight. 25 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, added a block shot, team high plus 14 in a 7-point loss. Let's go to Los Angeles and hear from the Jazz star.
And credit to the team. We did a great job of coming out of the locker room in the third quarter and about giving us a chance to win the game. But kind of, obviously we're going to watch film of that fourth quarter, what we can do better. But I think there's some mistakes that we can easily correct.
How tough was that moment, the blocking call that got reversed on Taylor? Obviously,
yeah.
I mean, that
would have
been,
I think. Yeah, it would have been, him making that free throw, being 2-point game, 55 seconds to go, whatever, something like that. And I think we're right there where we're going to be on the road, having a 2-point game, getting a stop, and giving us a chance to win the game. And so it was a big, big one, but I think we still, even them reversing it, I think we still had a shot, but just weren't able to get that.
What stands out about, Will was kind of talking about the turnovers in the first quarter and then the turnovers in the fourth quarter, the poor start, poor finish. What kind of stands out about what went wrong in those moments?
Not sure. Just, yeah, we gotta watch the film and learn from it. Not sure if there's some kind of pattern that we're doing, but I feel like we're ready to start the game. And sometimes it happens that, like today, we let them get the lead in the beginning, and it was tough. But just, yeah, I don't know. I can't give you a specific answer right now on that. I'm not sure. Yeah, for sure. He's a big part of what we're doing, and just most of the minutes this year we played with him, so it kind of feels different to not have him out there. And we just got to adjust, and obviously we got good players to when we have that next man up mentality, and we have good guys coming off the bench. And now of course, Colin started today, and I think we're all good players. We just got to get on the same page, and we're so used to having Mike in the starting lineup, and now it's going to change things up a little bit. But I think I'm still confident on this team, even without him. It's one of those nights tonight.
On the lines.
There he was, Lauri Markkanen, talking about the Jazz loss to the L.A. Clippers, 121-114 tonight. You heard him talking there a little bit about the turnovers in that first half that were a struggle for the Jazz. I definitely think there was some issue not having Mike Conley on the floor, but also they just shot poorly in the first half, and really in the first quarter. And when you shoot poorly in the first quarter, you're going to get long rebounds that go the other direction. Now, that doesn't mean you just give up layups. You got to get back in transition, and this Jazz team has struggled with that at times this year. But those shots go in, you get a chance to set your defense. They didn't quite do that.
Yeah, and then when you turn it over to boot, then you really have nothing going for. I was just looking at the transition numbers. The Clippers tonight, in transition total, were 1.7 points per play.
Wow. Yeah.
Off steals, 2.25. So, like Coach Hardy said, if Jazz turned it over live, it was more often than not going down for a dunk.
Looking at these fast break opportunities, a huge difference in this game. Clippers 9 of 12 for 22 points, to your point. Jazz just 11 points on 3 of 7. Again, lost 3 big points from Talen Horton-Tucker on a fast break opportunity late in the fourth quarter on a block charge. It ended up getting challenged. Smart challenge by Ty Lue. He held on to his challenges and got that overturned, but that would have been a big one in the Jazz favor.
This is something I hope this team can figure out, because they play so free. You know, right now transition's almost, the floor's tilted the other way. They're not, you know, tonight they got out 17% of the time in transition, which is high for them. And they actually did a better job in the second half of getting the game slowed down on the Clippers side. But I feel like this team can be better both offensively in transition and getting back and guarding it. So I think they're leaving some things on the table right now, which they understand and know. But hopefully that'll click for him because transition can be a real weapon.
Yep, and it's hard. Will Hardy said when he got this job in the, with the Jazz, one of the first things he said at his press conference and said it throughout preseason was he wants the team to play fast. He wants them to play a little bit faster than they did last season. But it has to be fast under control. It has to be fast with a purpose. And I know they embrace the chaos, but it's not like they're just making it up as they go. They understand what that chaos means. It's a controlled chaos that gets the other team scrambling. The Jazz need to find a way to play with pace, but can't get sped up so fast that it allows the Clippers and guys like John Wall and Norman Powell to get out there and really play in space, because that's where they are so effective, and that's where they killed the Jazz in the first half. And I know the Jazz came back, they erased that that deficit and were up by five going into the fourth quarter, but still, that amount of work it took in the third quarter took its toll in the fourth.
Yeah, and pace is a great word. I think everybody wants to play fast, but I do think there's times during the season like this where you've got to kind of swallow hard, and you've got to say, hey, I've got to let these guys grow. And we're going to do it through mistakes. But that's always, you know, it's easier to try to control them. I like that Coach Hardy wants to play faster and really encourages it. I do believe when this team figures out the transition piece, it really completes the loop because they get points from the free throw line. They get offensive rebounds night after night. They're a great three-point shooting team, and that'll only get better if they can get those early in transition as opposed to having to run something in half court.
The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share yours at MySubaruIs.com. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this thing, get you ready for the Detroit Pistons coming into town on Wednesday. Tim Lacombe, Ben Anderson filling in for Jake Scott on Jazz Game Night.
Ronnie Hook blocked it.
The final box score is printed. Jake Scott and the coach Tim Lacombe are breaking down how it all happened on the Mark Miller Utah Jazz postgame show.
Oh, my. I can't remember. It was a pretty funny conversation. John Wall gets stripped. Ground ball robbery from the Jazz with a chance to take the lead. Horton Tucker attacking the rack. Fouled and finishes. Utah leads. How about that? Down by 17 in the second quarter, down by 10 to start the third, and the Jazz have forcefully worked their way back in front, 83-82.
It's your play of the game, Talen Horton-Tucker, and one with the dunk in transition, brought to you by Larry H. Miller Dealerships for service, sales, and selection, LHMauto.com, driven by you. The number of really impressive flashes that you get from Talen Horton-Tucker on the floor. I know we've talked about him a lot tonight, but there's a reason. His high marks are uniquely high, even among the best players in the world in the NBA.
He made a couple plays tonight. I mean, just think about some of those plays, but the one that stands out to me, I mean, he had Jackson dead to rights if he would have gone over his left shoulder, but he actually makes the harder play, which is to spin back right shoulder, fade away.
Yeah.
And it looked like Bernard King, the old Bernard King at Madison Square Garden. I mean, it was sweet, nothing but net. But his touch from three, made a couple threes, and then his ability to relentlessly drive the lane, drive through contact, finish through contact, and multiple release points. I think he's really great.
And that was just his offense.
Exactly.
I mean, tonight, defensively, right. We talked about, I mean, he probably should have been a jump ball. This actually hurt the Jazz, but he tied up Amir Coffey on a block shot that looked like he was beat, poked the ball away from John Wall, which, look, this isn't Little League basketball. I mean, you're not picking guys off the dribble. You're just not poking the ball away anymore unless you have that uniquely long wingspan and really good timing. There's only a few really good lockdown on-ball defenders in the NBA. Think of Alex Caruso with the Chicago Bulls. Talen isn't that. That's what people expected from him coming out of Iowa State, but he certainly shows enough flashes to think he could get there.
Yeah, I see what the buzz is about. I really do. He does something every night that impresses me. You know, gets me kind of looking more into what this dude is. And it's definitely a great sign. You mentioned he's 21. I mean, that's amazing because he plays well beyond his years.
And nice to have him locked up for another season.
That's right.
And, you know, maybe you can avoid him if he continues to play like this, even getting to free agency. You might try to extend him before. I mean, I know that's the cart before the horse on a very early rearrangement of this roster that the Jazz have gone through over the last couple of months. But He's an intriguing piece the Jazz have, and those types of highlights are they're not few and far between. They are going to come pretty frequently as long as he's in a Jazz uniform.
And I actually was thinking during the game, kind of chuckling, it's the ultimate final, like, coup de grace to the Lakers and Beverly.
Oh,
like, what an unbelievable, you know, if the if he continues to grow at the rate, I mean, he's already, the trade's already like far won, but I'm talking like historic kind of like, whoa, you gave up him for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. One of those ones in retrospect.
Like, I mean, yes. The Lakers need a guy exactly like him right now.
Yeah. Right. Would they love a two-way player who can make some shots and space the floor 2 of 4 from the 3-point line tonight and then just brings a no-nonsense energy to the game? That's what I'm really impressed with him, talking to him after games, before games. He's all ball. That guy is not trying to mix it up. He does not miss the bright lights of Los Angeles. That's not what he's about. He just wants to get out there. He wants to play, and he wants to help you win, and that's what he does.
And I liked your observation. You know, the cool thing, you get to interact with him more than I. You see him more in person. But I think the fact that you said he seems like a guy who would really feel great about living here. You know, he's more of a quiet guy, enjoys this, I guess, slower pace and out of the lights. I love when guys like it here, especially good players.
He's one of them. Good night tonight from Talen Horton-Tucker. And as we've mentioned with Mike Conley out of the lineup, he's going to have a real opportunity to show what he's got, including Wednesday night when the Utah Jazz welcome the shorthanded Detroit Pistons into town. Cade Cunningham has just not been able to get healthy so far this year, which is too bad because as a rookie, he truly had some superstar moments. We even saw it in a big comeback against the Jazz last year on the road in Detroit. He can be pretty special, the former number one overall pick out of Oklahoma State.
He's got a great feel and just that size, you know, ability to see, have the vision, first of all, and then the ability to see everything and make every play because of your size. I think he's got a great future. I hope he can heal up. It'll be good to see Bojan, too, you know, back in the house.
Absolutely one of the biggest fan favorites we've ever seen come through Utah, Bojan Bogdanović, and absolutely deservedly so because he is terrific on the floor. He's terrific off the floor. And again, no nonsense. All ball. I mean, one of the first things I remember hearing about him was from George Niang. He said, Bojan has the perfect level of caring and not caring. It's the perfect combination because he doesn't care so much that he's going to be afraid to shoot the ball if he's missed his first five, and he cares enough that he's going to really go out there. And on a night when Donovan Mitchell was out in the playoffs, he can give you 29 points, 30 points in the first half of a playoff game, and he did it more than once.
You know, and that, to me, that is a hard skill. I mean, to be able to have the ability to rise to the level but also not make it everything, I absolutely love it. And it's a great explanation of what he was. I loved watching him play. I thought he brought a real excitement and some, you know, to a team that kind of needed it, just a guy who showed up and got you, 15, 20 points nearly every night.
And look at him now. This is one of those rare win-win trades in the NBA where the Detroit Pistons had a lot of depth at center, brought some young guys in, including Jalen Duren, who they drafted in the first, they traded for on draft night in the lottery. They just needed to clear space for their young bigs to get out there and have an opportunity to see the floor, so they needed to move on from Kelly Olynyk. And on the flip side, the Jazz needed to give Larry Markkanen every opportunity to touch the ball, and they weren't going to do that with Bojan Bogdanović on the roster. Bojan averaging 20.5 points per game right now for the Pistons. He's actually their leading scorer this year and signed a 2-year, $40 million extension, so good for Bojan.
I said Bogdanović means bucket in Serbia.
That's why it's twice, or you should say Bojan, because that's why they say it's twice. I mean, bogey is bogey. It's the bogey bucket. And
bogey bucket.
Yeah, he gives it to you
every
night.
He definitely can, too. He's got a great ability to score in all different areas.
Excited to see him back here, and I think Jazz fans are going to give him the ovation he deserves. One of the all-time greats to come through Utah, both on the floor and off. The My Subaru Is campaign features real stories from real Mark Miller Subaru customers. Subaru owners are diverse, and each has a unique story to share. Read some of the Mark Miller Subaru owner stories and share your own at MySubaruIs.com. The Utah Jazz fall to the LA Clippers, 121-114, down 17 in the first half. Battle back, but ultimately not enough there in the fourth quarter. We'll be back with you on Wednesday night as the Jazz face Bojan Bogdanović and the Detroit Pistons. Big thanks to Jamil back there flipping the switches for us on the broadcast. Tim Lacombe, as always, we'll talk to you again coming up in a couple of nights.
Sounds good, man. You're like in there flying the ship with us two out here. Good
running
job
around
tonight, man.
Yeah. Trying to cause trouble.
And great being with you, Ben. Absolute pleasure to be somebody that sees the game like you do.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be able to have this opportunity to do it. Big thanks to Jake for calling my number as he's out this week. So more coming up on Wednesday as the Jazz get ready to take on the Detroit Pistons. It's Jazz game night.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America.
But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.